in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Let me give you something to chew on. You're going to chew on that song all day tomorrow. You're going to think of it. And if I were you, I'd just go find it online and memorize the words to it. Man, what a wonderful, wonderful song. And I thought you did a good job singing it, too. You're right. Boy, if you ever hear that sung by a large congregation or a large choir, it'll just thrill your heart. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 5 through 7, I want to read it and then speak a few minutes about planting a soul garden. A soul garden. And I think this will challenge you to let these words lodge in your brain along with that song. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." We're instruments in God's hand, kind of like maybe instruments used in the field to plow the ground and plant the seed and see a crop. But if it were not for God giving the rain and the dirt to grow the seed in and the seed itself, it all comes from God. And so when it finally sprouts and grows and the crop is harvested, it's God that gives the increase. Well, let's pray and I'll tell you my thought. Father, I pray that you'd bless us as we speak about this important part of our lives as a Christian, and that's planting a soul garden. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to let this stir our hearts towards becoming a better witness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A Christian plants spiritual seeds, or we ought to be. And we plant spiritual seeds, and we do this among unbelievers. We'll give them a few verses. We'll give them a few thoughts. Maybe we'll go through a Romans road or some sort of plan of salvation from the Scriptures, and this is what people need in order to be saved. We can't make up our own way. We have to go by God's way. He makes the rules. And so we plant the seeds of the Word of God, and we do this by giving them the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the way people are saved, by believing that message, the death of Christ for our sins. He was buried, he was really dead, he really died for us, and then he really rose from the dead. That's the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, you can read it sometime if you want to look it up there, but that's what the gospel message is in this church age. So a Christian plants those seeds and hopes for an increase. We hope for a harvest, some fruit of our labors. An agricultural farmer does similar things. He'll go out and break up the field. I remember my grandpa having an old mule out there in the garden in the springtime, and boy, he'd be, "Giddy up, ha, gee," and he's getting that old mule to go one way or the other, usually trying to plow a straight row, but when you get to the end of the garden, you got to turn and come back. My grandpa would break up that garden, you smell the fresh dirt, and then he'd plant seeds, and they'd have an increase that fall. Well, you put the seeds in the ground and cover the seeds over with the fertile soil, and then the sun comes out and warms up that soil and makes those seeds ready to sprout. And then a little later on, you get some spring showers, and those things will pop out of the ground and start growing. And that farmer will nurture those seeds, those plants throughout the summer, and finally one day he's got a harvest. And Christians who are planting a soul garden does much the same. Seeds from the Word of God are sown in the souls of those around us, those we care about, and we want to see them saved. We sow the seeds, and we wish there'd just be a harvest right now. Man, you witness somebody, and you want to just say, "Man, I hope they get saved right now." And yet, most of the time, it takes somebody else coming along and doing a little watering. It takes a little sunshine from the Holy Spirit to warm the soil of their heart, to warm that heart, convict that heart, and bring them to the point where they're ready to sprout as a Christian. Another believer comes along in the seeds where you've planted and you didn't get to reap that harvest. And another believer comes along and they water a little and maybe cultivate that soil a little. And maybe it's weeks, months, or years into the future. And finally you get a phone call. You wasn't sure your seed planting did anything, but you get a phone call. Somebody on the other end of the line is a new believer, and they're thanking you for sowing that seed in their heart. Now that they're saved, they're very grateful. They're thankful that you helped to get that seed in the ground where God could warm it up and make it sprout. God gave the increase, but He used you. Well, I grew up with Virgil Craig. We went to grade school together, high school together, and I hung out with Virgil. We'd go places together. I've been to his house hundreds of times, and we fooled around as teenage boys a lot. Then we grew up, parted ways, and became adults. That inevitably happens, doesn't it? Kids, you think you'll never get to be 16. It'll come faster than you think. And then when you get 16, get that driver's license, you know, you thought you're going to make it. That's going to be, life is over now. And then you want to graduate from high school. And then you want to get married and do other things. But life passes quickly. Well, I got grown and went through most of those things. And I got saved. I was 29 years old, nearly going on 30, I guess. I got saved. And I began to witness to some of my old high school friends. Began to witness to Virgil. Well, Virgil would not listen for very long and kind of brush me off. I thought that seed was not planted in such a way it's going to produce anything. This was 40 years ago. Well, fast forward till last year. Got a phone call from Virgil's sister. And Virgil and Ann wanted me to come and see their mother. She's in the hospital dying. And I was called in to go and visit her. She kind of looked, in her mind, I was kind of her son. You know, we'd hung out around her house so many times. She'd fed me enough meals. She kind of figured I was her boy in a way. And so she wanted to see me. And so I went there to pray with her, and not in front of her, of course, but the kids wanted to talk to me about doing the funeral. And so I visited with her for a good while, prayed with her, and then the family wanted to talk to me in the waiting room. So we went in and sat down, and I began to water that seed in Virgil that I had planted years ago. Began to hoe around that plant a little bit. And giving a little more water. Well, Virgil was still, he's always been argumentative. And he just kind of wanted to debate a little bit. And so after we debated for a while, I began to think, this seed's been planted and that's all I can do. And I left. Now fast forward again to about 2 weeks ago. Phone rang. I'm driving out to the church house. It's on a weekday, and had my AirPod in my ear and driving along, and phone rang, so I reached up and clicked it, and somebody on the other end, a man, wanted to talk to me, and I didn't recognize his voice, and AirPods, you don't get the same quality of sound that you do coming out of an ordinary telephone, and so I thought, maybe it must be somebody that knows me, and I know them, but I just can't recognize the voice. And he played with me for a while, and then he said, you don't know who this is, do you? And I said, I sure don't. You're going to have to tell me. He said, this is Virgil. I said, well, Virgil, good to hear from you. What's up? He said, I've got some news to tell you. And I could tell the enthusiasm in his voice was real. He said, I've got some news for you. And I said, well, what is it? He said, a few weeks ago, I was in an accident. Automobile accident on the interstate, driving a truck, and he said, I rear-ended another car that stopped in the interstate in front of me, and I couldn't stop in time. and a man in the other car died, and I ended up in the hospital. And I thought, well, this is good news. And he said, you know, laying in the hospital, I figured the Lord was beginning to speak to me. I heard his voice. And he said, I just thought I'd call you up and let you know that all those times you talked to me about the Lord, it's come to pass. I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. He said, I thought you'd just want to know. Well, glory to God, he's certainly right. I did want to know. I was glad to hear that. And there's nothing more that will thrill the soul of a preacher, of a Christian, of a soul winner, than to hear that somebody he's had some impact on somewhere down the road, somebody else, I don't know who did the watering and who did the sowing and all of the hoeing, but somebody and the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and Virgil got saved, and I'm pretty excited about that. And that's what I wanted to relay to you about this passage of Scripture, plant a soul garden. Let me read this verse again. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. Paul saying, yeah, you heard the gospel through me or one of these other fellows. And he said, you're kind of divided there at the church of Corinth. Some of you are saying, well, I like this preacher the best. Some are saying, I like this preacher the best. And some others said, no, I like that preacher the best. Some of them so spiritual said, well, I don't like none of them. I just like Jesus. Some people try to get super spiritual, you know. And Paul said, hey, whichever one you heard the news from, not that important. What's important is that you heard the gospel. And then verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, our message wouldn't mean nothing. It wouldn't be worth a hill of beans if God didn't get involved and get into their heart, convict them, bring them to the point where they're ready to repent and turn to Christ in faith for salvation. And that's what happened to Virgil. That's what happened to these people at Corinth. And what are we saying? We're saying that it happened primarily because God was the one who gave the increase, but because people got involved. You see, God could just come down and he could just win everybody himself. God could just send a bunch of angels down and say, I want you guys to win all the souls. But that's not the way God chose to do it. God chose for you, me, to be the ministers by whom they hear about God. He wants to use us. Plant a soul garden. I'm going to pray, and then we got the remainder of the service going to be kind of a special time for those of us in the building. Sorry for the folks who are watching online. I wanted to give you this to inspire your heart. We're going to pray, and then the online broadcast will end for tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this example, this illustration of how Paul and those other ministers had witnessed to these people. And they had heard the gospel. The seed was planted in their heart. And Lord, you came along and you heated up that soil. And you caused that seed to sprout, the seed of salvation. And Lord, even though those ministers who proclaimed the gospel didn't bring about the salvation, we understand that you used them. And Lord, I pray that everybody in this building tonight and those listening online, Lord, that they would understand that you want to use all of us to get the gospel out to those who need to hear it. Father, we know that there's people who are going to miss out on heaven if they don't hear the gospel. Lord, help us to have a burden. Take that soul-saving message of the gospel to those who need to hear. And Lord, help us not to be discouraged when we don't hear that they got saved right away. And like Virgil, who got saved 40 years after I planted that first seed. And Lord, we don't know how many others that came along and planted more seeds and watered those seeds. We don't know how many were instrumental in that, but thank God they were. I pray that you'd bless us, Lord. Give us a burden for lost souls. Lord, even if we can't win them to you as we talk to them. We pray that seed would take root. And Lord, we pray that if we can't get people to be saved right on the spot, that we can at least invite them to church, to an online service, to be able to hear the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ and his death for their sins and his resurrection for their justification. I pray that you'd bless us as we go into this next phase of the service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen.